well, let's move on here. So let's go to sort of a completely different aspect. I was going to say the other end of the spectrum of aviation is that EAA held their ski plane fly-in, their annual snow fly-in in at Pioneer Airport this past weekend. And it was, although I wasn't able to attend, apparently it was a big success. They had like a couple hundred people there. They had a couple dozen airplanes on skis flew in, and they thought they would have had more, but there was some weather to the west. That has always sounded to me like a really cool fly-in. I've always, every year I put it on my calendar saying, I want to go this year. And
And weather to the west sounds just like Oshkosh, doesn't
yeah, that's right.
it?
July, January, same thing, right?
That's
Yeah.
right. That's right.
So that sounds like a cool. If you go to the EAA website, EAA.org, if you go in the next couple of days, there's a link on their front page, and otherwise you can probably dig for it and find there's some really cool pictures of the airplanes on skis flying in and landing and parked on the snow at.
We're really thrilled for the EAA folks that they actually had snow for a ski plane fly-in this year. In January of 06, it was uncharacteristically warm and uncharacteristically snow-free when the ski plane fly-in rolled around. So they still had a party. They watched movies. Speaking of parties, one of the things that went on in tangent with the ski plane fly-in was a birthday party for Audrey Poberesny, wife of founder Paul Poberesny. So they had a big chili party in one of the hangars over at Pioneer.
Oh, cool.
And
Yeah,
this all
there's a
occurred
great
just
picture
a
of
few
Audrey
days
on the
after.
website, and
Yeah, there is. And this all occurred just a few days after the Experimental Aircraft Association made note of its 54th birthday. Our 53rd birthday, I guess it
fifty
should be.
turns 54.
Turns 54.
Yeah.
They started in
Do the
January
math. Do the
26,
math.
okay, here we go. How long have you done since? How long since you've done a time speed distance calculation here? Obviously, your
Oh,
arithmetic is
yeah.
a little
Well,
weak.
that's what happens when you just turn 57.
But yeah, the EAA celebrated their birthday, and it's pretty impressive that they've, you know, been doing their thing for so long, and they're still so close to their original mission. They really have. I mean, although they've kind of matured and you know, embrace a perhaps a wider field these days, in many ways they're still with their original mission. I don't have it in front of me here, but I was reading their mission statement from whatever it was, 53, 52, and it still is their mission statement now. It still works to this day about innovating and making it possible to build airplanes. And you know, I'm an unabashed EAA fan. I make
Yeah,
no apologies.
it's
you
also
think of
very interesting to go back and look at what would pass for technical articles from that era, what would pass for cutting edge, leading edge, home built aircraft from that era, and compare them to what we have today, and look at the just stark progress made. EAA has to take a great deal of credit for that, and our hats
Absolutely.
are off to them. EAA's clearly a class organization in this industry, and we congratulate them on hanging together for 54 years.
Yeah. Now, reading about the ski plane fly-in got me to thinking about other sort of non-standard. I mean, there are hundreds of pancake fly-ins, and they're terrific events and lots of fun and great camaraderie and chances to hangar fly. But it got me to thinking about some of the sort of non-standard fly-ins that I've heard about and some of which I've attended around the country. For example, and I alluded to this a few minutes ago, there's a fly-in that happens some years and up here in New England on Lake Winnipesaukee, in an area of Lake Winnipesaukee called Alton Bay. They actually create a runway out on the ice of Lake Winnipesaukee. And, you know, there are probably other places around the country where they make ice runways. This one's notable to me because it's nearby. I also am kind of entertained by the fact that the Alton Bay ice runway is actually on the charts, as an actual public landing place. And then the sort of signature of the season for them is that the EAA chapter that's based up in that area holds a fly-in every winter, where you land out on the ice and you can get a sticker. You know, I landed on the ice, and then they do what you do at fly-ins, but they do it out on the ice. It's pretty cool.
If you go
to and now I'll put this in the show notes, but it's the FBO, which is actually based at Rochester's Skyhaven Airport, is called Ossipee Aviation. I apologize for not having the URL handy, but they sort of manage the ice runway, and they're the ones that you go to for updates on. Especially in these days of climate change and global warming, it's not possible to create the ice runway in a safe way every year, and so I think they didn't do it last year. But last I checked, they're hoping to do it this year, so I think that's kind of a cool off-the-beaten-path fly-in. Do you guys know, Dave, you seem to be pretty tuned into the whole fly-in community. Are there some funky fly-ins that happen out in your part of the world?
Oh, there's a monthly fly-in at Ponca City, Oklahoma. It's a breakfast fly-in, first Saturday of the month. So this coming Saturday will be the day, rain or shine. They have an ILS at Ponca, so they can draw a pretty good crowd on even a lousy, rainy day. There's a very active chapter of the Commemorative Air Force here in Wichita that has a number of events of its own, and one of them is coming up a little later this year in Newton, Kansas, about 20 miles up the road from Wichita, called the Wings of Remembrance. It's a little two-day event to celebrate old warriors, both the mechanical and the humankind. It's a fly-in that, you know, you get a free breakfast if you fly your own airplane into the show. It's a lot of fun. You see some great non-standard aircraft there.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
I'm sorry?
I resemble that remark. I have a non-standard aircraft.
And come June down in Oklahoma, Bartlesville to be precise, will be the annual Biplane Expo, staged by the Biplane Association. It's kind of a spin-off from an EAA chapter that focuses solely on the top and bottom wing kind of machines. Typical crowd down there, they'll have over 200 biplanes show up that encompasses everything from really old Stearman, like pre-Boeing Stearman, to modern home-built biplanes like Starduster and Acroduster, and a little bit of everything in between. They have some pilot forums, some workshops, a little trade show and fly market. Runs generally Friday through Sunday. It's a lot of fun. It's very homey. There may be 1,200 people on the field at any given time, and they draw a good crowd through. It's always worth the trip to see the old biplanes.
Yeah, sounds great. There's a couple other interesting ones up here in New England that I'm familiar with. Every fall, there's a float plane amphibious kind of fly-in up in Maine. I'm blank. Greenville, I think, is what it is. It's a huge event. It attracts all kinds of people, and it's kind of a mini Sun and Fun Oshkosh kind of thing, where people go up and camp by the side of the runway, and you know, and it's kind of split between a lake and a nearby airport. And that one seems like a lot of fun. I've never had a chance to go to that one. One that I do go to on a regular basis, though, is here just about 2 miles in from the ocean in New Hampshire, in a town called Greenland. They do an ultralight fly-in every summer, every in July, that's a week and a half long, very much in a sort of a Oshkosh Sun and Fun format, where there's camping, and everybody flies in their ultralights, and they camp, and some conventional aircraft come in too, and it takes place on a guy's private grass strip that he donates to the local ultralight chapter, and that's a lot of fun. I think it's called the Yankee Ultralight Fly-In, and it's in July. And that one's notable for me because this grass strip, I mean, it's a fairly long runway. It has the biggest hill at the beginning of that runway that I've ever seen on a runway. I mean, it's really a dramatic hill. It would be difficult to walk up this hill. And of course, that means the bias is towards taking off down the hill and landing up the hill. And these airplanes taxi up this pretty notable hill on this grass taxiway, and they get to the top of the hill, and they basically, you know, roll down the hill at full power and get airborne before they even reach the bottom of the hill, which is not even a quarter of the way along the runway. It's a fun thing.
It sounds like a hang gliding launch.
It's not dissimilar to that from what I've seen. So the Yankee Ultralight Fly-In is another fun fly-in. To our listeners out there, if you folks know about some fun fly-ins that go around the country, and I'm sure there's lots of them, we would love to hear about them. Send us an email or call our listener line and leave us a little voicemail telling us about some of the unusual fly-ins that you're familiar with. We'd love to announce upcoming fly-ins, but we'd especially love to hear about fly-ins that have happened. Tell us about the flying activities and community that are going on in your part of the country.
Absolutely.